radio.com.
Thank you, Super Happy Magical World Post Time Shows, with your host, Super Saiyan Mandel Ragazza. Yeah, voice from America Missy. Also, it may be including cartoon characters, Crazy Kane Loving Jackie Vice, Grumpy Farmer Skin Color Legit Spark Person, and many of our happy, fun time peoples. Aussie German and Raw begins now!
I've got the look that drives a girl wild. I've got the move that really move her. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy.
Boy toy.
I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy.
Boy toy.
I make them hot. I make him shiver, their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk, they hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine.
As I rock the old school Heartbreak Kid sunglasses. Yes, I actually do have HBK sunglasses.
You're talking about the red heart ones?
The red heart ones.
Dude, I had some of those. Those were awesome.
I have those.
We don't get a picture?
I'll get you a picture later.
Okay.
Okay? Because, you know, I have to show my Marxism. And the sunglasses, I think, does it.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome everybody to the WTR Raw Post Show live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you don't follow us on Twitter, you have no idea what that opening exchange was about. But follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Board, and at Jackie Feist. And at the Maestro, Scotty B., as we are joined tonight by the one, the only, the host, one of the hosts of Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, debuting this Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So
you're all going to be sick of me by the time the show actually starts.
Yeah, I have a feeling we will be, but that's okay. We're already, you know, we get sick of
people. But
we
still love you.
Yeah, we get sick of people all the time, and we still love our shows.
You're going to be sick of me before the shows. You're sick of me already.
We're getting there.
I'm sick of me.
And what a fun night of action we have in store for everyone here tonight, besides shameless plugs, which we'll probably do a lot of, like we did last night on Russell Talk Radio. You can hear the archive at wildtalkradio.com. See, that was a plug in a plug. Promoting plugs.
Isn't that all we do is shameless plugs on this network?
I think.
Tune in this week to hear the following shows. Dodgers. Wild Talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, blah, 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 blah. Till then, see you next week.
Can't forget about two editions of The Rack this week.
Yes. Special Valentine's Day edition tomorrow at some time whenever Rock decides.
11 p.m. Eastern.
11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You promoted the picture. It had the time on it.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That was an awesome picture, by the way.
Thank you.
We love that.
We love that. That was win.
It was a win. Had Kane in it. It's always a win. We had a lot of Kane tonight on Monday Night Raw.
We did. And you know what? I want to just stop before we talk about anything else and say, I don't know who it was that had the, what was it, say no to fiat currency sign? But that was awesome. Give that person a cookie.
That 10 points, nice. Gryffindor. Well done.
Yes. Well, well done. I know that probably doesn't make any sense to you guys, and I'm sorry. But that sign was a win. That was a straight up Kane sign.
They mark over Kane signs that probably five people get.
That's, so why that's the point, though.
That's why they're Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward.
Yes. The synonymous Kane taker fangirls of the network. Of everywhere.
Of everywhere.
Yes, of everywhere.
They take over the world.
Of the entirety of everywhere. They are the everywhere twins.
They get Kane pictures, and then 2 days later, they're talked about on every news site with a Z and an S on the interwebs.
They are
because
the ones,
we are that damn good.
They are the ones that they that the Sandlot coined forever. For how long have they liked Kane? Forever.
Ever.
And we have to now that's a hashtag forever.
Including
you have to spell it right. There's about 13 O's in four and about 15 R's in ever.
And that takes about 140 characters right there for the one hashtag.
He was rocking the beard tonight, which made me happy.
Yeah, he was. He was totally rocking the beard.
Okay, the wig still bothers me, though. It does.
Yeah, yeah, we actually agree on that.
Well, you know, maybe he'll go psycho like Taker did and cut all his hair off.
Cut the wig off.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get to this later, but can I just say that that segment with the ambulance, we'll get to it later.
We'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there. Well, we open with Kane telling the world that Cena will embrace the hate tonight. He will finally do it. And that, you know, someone will be taking a ride in the ambulance as well.
I want to go. I just want to use the siren.
You get to go after Jackie and I.
I want to push the siren.
Okay.
Push the siren.
Sirens are
can
awesome.
You hear us now, Jackie?
I can. I don't know what happened there. I'm sorry, but okay.
Wow, your internet sounds like crap.
Crap.
Hang up and call me back.
All right, no problem.
That's called bad internet right there, folks. Live radio.
It's a good thing to take.
Anyway.
No, honey, we're live.
We're live.
Yes, I know.
There's no kayfabe here, man. We're live.
No kayfabe here.
No kayfabe here.
See, you're going to have to get used to this live thing. Anything can happen when you're live.
Oh, I've been live before. I'm not worried about live.
Okay, just making sure you guys are okay.
I had to do live TV once for Memphis Wrestling and Jerry the King Lawler, and I kept saying, tonight on the show, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah, let me tell you. Always nice, always really nice when it's your first time on a show, and the Hall of Fame legend himself is screaming in your earpiece, it's not fucking night!
Okay.
Anyway, that's a story for another day on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, Wednesdays, 8:30, Wild Talk Radio. Hashtag watch it.
Hashtag spankings, hashtag kittens, hashtag Betty White's labia.
But why are you saying watch it when it's radio?
Because fuck you. Because damn your logic with a spoon.
See, I told you you would like him.
Just want to, you know, throw it out there. This is late radio.
No, there's no logic. Shush. Damn your logic.
It's a Mace law. We have to follow logic around here.
I thought we abandoned logic and physics when we were talking or watching wrestling. I thought that was just a given.
I got my
professional wrestling start, not as a fan, but as an actual, you know, worker in TNA. Logic be damned, all right?
Okay.
That's how I was trained, and damn it, that's how I'm going to keep working.
Okay, we got that. Okay. In any event.
Remember, it's just another goddamn wrestling show, Wednesdays on Wild Talk Radio, hashtag watch it.
There you go. Watch it on Wednesday nights.
All right, don't we have a show to do here?
Well, we're stalling until Jackie gets back.
Kind of, maybe.
Tap dancing
around it. But this is the show. We just bullshit and talk about Raw. So, you know.
Well, in that case, remember, it's Wednesday nights, 8:30. Just another... you guys are going to get so fucking sick of me.
It's okay. We did about 370 plugs last night for The Rack. Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern on a special Valentine's edition this week at 11 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night.
Yes, come. Call in. Please call in and tell us your worst Valentine's Day stories or your best Valentine's Day stories because we have fucking nothing to talk about yet.
Oh, we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll have plenty of to talk about.
I mean, Jackie and I can only compare boob sizes for so long on air before we have to talk about something else.
That's not true.
There's so much wrong I could say right there. So much wrong.
If you want to talk about boob sizes all night long, that's okay.
We can, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be boob size. It can be bra size. It can be one cup. It can be two cups. It can be, you know, we can talk about handfuls. We can talk about more than handfuls. We can talk about mouthfuls. You name it, we can talk about it.
And she has no response.
Janet well, Jackson if you want to talk about hand, well, if you want to talk about handfuls, then Kane's the only one that can get a true handful of either one of us. So there.
I know that's not true. Find out who I mean on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, Wednesdays at 8:30 on Waffles Radio.
All right, let's get
well,
it.
I know it's not your hands.
Such an awesome tease. Nope, it's John Gray.
Yeah, because they fit in his hands, too.
You set me up, and I just knock it out of the park, Lynn.
That's what a good co-host does, isn't it?
Okay, so, show. We haven't talked about the fucking show yet.
You know, we're having a great debate right now. And they started off with a debate. Segway. See that? Segway.
Nice. Well done.
Started off with a debate about the Elimination Chamber, kind of stealing, you know, the gimmick we do on Sunday nights called The Great Debate. But that's okay. You had six people talking about what they will do at Elimination Chamber. Who will win? Who's the best in the world? Who's a ripoff? Who's a wannabe? What did you guys think overall of this opening segment, Lindsay?
Wait. Well, you knew it was serious because CM Punk was wearing pants. And no one else was. Like, CM Punk and Truth were the only ones that wore pants to this debate, and everybody else was in their gear, which I find amazing. But
Truth always wears
pants.
Truth always wears pants.
I know Truth always wears pants, but I was more shocked that Punk was wearing pants.
They were shorts. They were shorts.
Still, any type of bottoms other than his trunks. Whatsoever was shocking because, let's face it, Punk doesn't usually wear any kind of bottoms except for his trunks. Which we don't mind, by the way.
Well, trunks, you don't.
Trunks can get a little smaller, actually, and I'd be okay with it. But, I thought it was a little odd. Like, I came in, the feed for me kicked in, like, about 5 minutes late. So I came in where Laurinaitis was celebrating his victory, and then they cut to the debate, and it was like, what are they doing? I mean, are they... It was a little confusing to me that they had a debate about the Elimination Chamber, I guess because of the fact that it's the elections or something along those lines. But the only redeeming factor that I really saw out of it was if Jerry Lawler asked if we wanted to see Ron Paul dropkick Newt Gingrich, and to that I say, yes, goddammit, I do
yes.
make that happen.
Yeah, that works for me. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Scott, what do you think of the opening segment?
I had it on mute. That's about how interested I was in it. I saw it set up and I went, oh, really? This reminds me of Chris Nowinski and Scott Steiner. And that sucked. And
that
now
bad.
You've multiplied it by four. I'm out.
The best thing I think of the segment was R-Truth saying he, if elected, he will trade Dolph and Vicky to SmackDown for Hornswoggle and a box of spiders, and then he's going to make some spider stew because they're good for you or something. Along
which is pretty bad when you consider he has arachnophobia.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say that that's a bad trade. I think he should at least go for two boxes of spiders and Hornswoggle.
You want two boxes of spiders?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he can get more for Vicky and Dolph. Maybe he could even get that ladder to negotiate that fear of heights he's got, too.
That might help if he's competing in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. But basically, you know, it's Jericho and Punk trying to sell up their match. Miz trying to make himself over again. Trying to get over with the crowd, you know. After he's getting some heat from the boys. And, you know, has a hard time climbing back up the ladder. But in any event, it ended with Kofi Kingston, of all people, laying out Chris Jericho and setting up their first match. What do you think of Jericho's first singles match back, guys?
I liked it. I liked the way Kofi just completely laid him out. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Kofi owning Jericho honestly was a win. It really was a win on both counts. Even though Jericho won, which was kind of disappointing, it was a well-put-together match, very enjoyable. Didn't completely suck me in, but then again, I don't think it was meant to. But it was nice to watch. It was fun to watch.
Jackie?
I liked it overall, considering, you know, the jab at Kofi Kingston by Chris Jericho last week. It was good to see Kofi, you know, not only show that he, you know, really, Jericho, you did not start everything, but also just show Jericho that he's a worthy competitor. And it was... I thought it was really good. I always like to see high flyers going up against each other. I think it's also good to see more of an aggressive streak out of Kofi Kingston. Again, the smiling baby face only goes so far, no matter who you are. As long as they don't go like the whole Nation of Domination route with Kofi just because he's black, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't. That would suck if they went there.
Well, that's always the default thing, to turn an African American person or a black person or a person of color, any kind of heel, is they always. I mean, look at Epico and Primo. They just, you know, they, even though Rosa is Mexican and they are Puerto Rican, they always turn it to a race thing or something like that. So as long as they don't do that, I'll be happy.
A couple more points. Punk made a Dancing with the Stars joke at Jericho's expense, and R-Truth is concerned about fighting a guy who's named after Flipper.
I'm still disappointed we are not getting a disco ball reference about the jacket from Punk. I want to hear that. The Dancing in the Stars quip was good, but I want him to make fun of the jacket.
I think he secretly wants the jacket, which is why he won't do it.
God, I hope not. Punk in that sparkly jacket, can you imagine? That'd be a travesty.
I like that jacket.
It would still be funny if he came in and mocked him about it. So we had Jericho defeat Kofi, as mentioned. Then we have, you know, the arrival of the Heartbreak Kid backstage, him and Hunter hug. Then we go another backstage, Cena and Ryder. You know, Cena wants Ryder to stay in his locker room. Ryder's there to, you know, win Eve's heart. You know, all that fun stuff.
That was an obvious setup, but it was a good setup. I mean, it kind of left you waiting, okay, John Cena has left Zack Ryder alone in his locker room. How long is it going to take Kane to find him and murder him? Again.
Again. And it took him a while.
Not long.
It took him a little while. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it took him the entire show.
Well, that's because Kane apparently doesn't watch TV. Because if Kane watched TV, he'd see that the cameras are fucking everywhere in a WWE locker room, and nobody seems to notice that they're there. It's like the continuation of GTV, except, you know, nobody bothers to turn and look at the camera and say, oh, hey, look, camera guy! I'm hiding in this locker room to stay away from the guy who wants to kill me, but hey, camera guy, show them exactly where I am. This is like Geraldo Rivera during the Iraq War. It's just stupid! Sorry. It's not Kane, it's not Ryder, it's the cameras bother me so fucking much.
And you can hear more about his thoughts on the cameras live every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, yeah, right, just like another goddamn wrestling show.
It is. It's just absolutely dumb.
See, that's how you throw in a plug too. So we then, you know, had the Cena Ryder stuff, and you had John Laurinaitis and the Tonga backstage. Plotting for Johnny Laurinaitis to be the GM of both shows.
I have to say that Otunga was seriously Buzz Killington. I mean, just really, dude? Really?
Anyone else have a thought for him being the GM for both shows? I'm not sure I'm liking that.
Well, this is obviously, I think this, you know, Teddy has had, as of late, a bit of a growth in his backbone. If you watch SmackDown, and this could very well indicate why. I mean, it started with Mark Henry, and he's up in everyone's face, and he's being all tough, and so I guess it does kind of make sense. You know, this happened for a reason. I was really not sure why they were pulling that, but I guess now we know he's going to have to hold his own to Laurinaitis.
Don't fire Teddy Long. He's an awesome GM, and he's been the most consistent one they've had.
Right.
Please don't fire Teddy Long. Plus, you know, it would totally screw up the Teddy Long flowchart. Just, you know, throwing that out there.
Teddy Long flowchart?
There's a Teddy Long flowchart. I'll send it to you. Jed posted it up on the TomTom Club page.
Yeah, you'll have to. I don't know that one.
Basically, it defaults to either Holla Holla or Tag Team Match or a match with The Undertaker or Randy Orton, depending on which one is there at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Tonight you go in one on one with the Undertaker. Player, player, holla, holla.
Yep, there you go.
Apparently We All Hate You is still trending on Twitter.
And all my friends are asking me on Facebook why the Undertaker cut his hair off.
We'll get there. We're getting there. I got that question too, apparently, on Instant Messenger. Why did he cut his hair off? We'll get there. I'll explain. It's always fun. But first, we had Randy Orton versus The Big Show. Overall thoughts on the matchup panel?
Nice botch at the end.
I missed the botch.
Well, basically the botch was after the huge DDT, which was impressive.
That was good.
Having Big Show hanging over the ropes. Big Show gets set up for the RKO. Big Show falls down before Orton goes and does the move. And you hear Michael Cole react. He laid him out with the RKO. Oh my God, excited. And Orton's still just standing there.
Yes, can I rant on the fact that Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler need to stop bickering like a pair of old women and just call the goddamn matches? I mean, seriously. Enough is enough. I'm sick of this crap. Just do your job. If you want to give your commentary on social events or anything else, get a show on the network or get a show on YouTube and leave it there.
Is it just me or did Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole remind you of, like, the Golden Girls?
No, I used to watch the Golden Girls. The Golden Girls was better.
Well, I'm not saying they're as good. They just kind of bicker and squabble like the Golden Girls. All that's missing is cheesecake and Betty White.
Cheesecake, so FTW.
Which one is Blanche? Which one's the slut? Just out of curiosity, is that Jerry?
Jerry?
That would be Lawler.
Jerry? He's a fucking cougar of that show.
This is true.
See, Tim is a dirty old man in training. Lawler has just got the dirty old man thing down.
He's got it down to a science.
I got it down to a 19-year-old.
He's got it down to a 14-year-old. He sees slow children at play, and he thinks it's a pickup line. I'm never working with him again. Doesn't matter to me.
Once again, just on the goddamn wrestling show, Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Come listen to me burn every bridge I've ever created in the business on Wednesdays at 8:30. Hashtag watch it.
There you go.
I'm going to get that trending. Worldwide, trending on Raw, or whatever.
Trending on
Twitter.
Raw. Twitter, right.
Oh, I'm not drunk enough for this.
Well, keep drinking, goddammit. Get your bottle of Jack and just start drinking. You have a standard to set, damn it.
I know. Yes, varying levels of sobriety during the Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show. From more than one person on the show.
Okay, continue on that segment. Orton gets laid out by Daniel Bryan with the belt. Same the show. Daniel Bryan looks strong, leading into SmackDown this coming week, where apparently he's fighting Randy Orton once again.
Cause why not?
They have nothing else to do.
Basically.
Because, you know, none of the matches on SmackDown with Daniel Bryan actually have a finish, so they gotta keep redoing them.
None of Daniel Bryan's matches have a finish anymore.
I'm curious how he's gonna finish the Elimination Chamber, if he's gonna finish it.
I have a feeling he will. I think he's gonna walk out as champion.
I do too, unfortunately.
But we'll talk more about the Elimination Chamber probably on the Rack Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern, and they'll talk about it, or at least Jackie will, on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio on the history of WWE.com.
Yes.
Hey, Tim said you couldn't plug that.
Fuck you, Tim. History of WWE.com. We like them, so we can plug them.
Yes.
Aww.
And that's Alan and I. We're family, so.
Like he cares about Alan.
Anyway, moving on.
Alan's good people.
Yeah, Alan's great people.
Yeah, we like Alan.
We like Alan.
Alan used to give me positive write-ups even when I sucked. Alan's good people.
That's why he's Mr. Personality, Mr. Excitement on the Wild Talk Radio Network, which you can hear him on a special day, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, this Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
So which is why we're going on Tuesday.
I'm completely lost track.
I have notes. We're good. I'm staying on track. I actually take notes for this show. Don't know why.
Yes, when he has notes, that's when we know there's going to be a long show because he's got his bullet points ready.
Yes.
Well, that's professional. We don't even... We barely name the fucking show.
Someone has to keep this show moving along and take notes. But now we move... Go ahead.
That's why we let you host it and none of us host it, because we don't want to take the notes.
Oh, 1 week I'll get you to host it. Trust me.
No, you won't.
1 week, right?
No. Okay. I'm not betting with you. You know, you should have taken that bet when Taker came back, but that's another story.
I would have lost that bet.
I know you would have. Then I would have owned your ass.
Yeah, you would have. I think I didn't. Anyway. So I maneuvered the Shawn Michaels sunglasses so they stay on top of my head. We have the Shawn Michaels return to Monday Night Raw. This was just a fantastic piece of, you know, television.
I liked it. I was a little concerned, though, at the very beginning, because I don't know if anyone else noticed, but I thought he was moving a little stiff.
His back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Hope he's okay.
He's probably...
Well, he's been spending his weekdays and weekends and holidays and all shooting shotguns at animals. That probably, with his bad back already, I mean, if you've ever shot a gun before, I don't know if any of you three have. Shotguns have pretty good kick to it. That might spur on a little back injury. I mean, not that it would injure his back, but if it's already injured, the way the gun will rattle the body, that could shake up a thing or two back there. It might be.
Yeah, the recoil.
Yeah.
And it could have been stiff from the plane ride, too.
That, too. In any event, basically, let's, you know... Shawn says he's nervous to come back, you know, and, you know, everyone asks, why does Shawn Michaels always come back around this time? Well, he's Mr. WrestleMania. Why wouldn't he be back for WrestleMania time? And spoiler, he's coming back again. He's supposed to be in Philadelphia in March.
I take it you will be there front row.
No, probably not.
In your sunglasses.
In my sunglasses.
You're not going?
No, I'm not going.
Why?
Can't afford it.
Because it's inappropriate to jerk off in public. Over Shawn Michaels.
Over Shawn Michaels.
I was going to say, never stop someone else we know, but okay.
Oh my God, don't even want to know. Next.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to know either.
Anyway.
Unless I already do, and then I'm just confused.
Anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway,
you don't,
I'm going to
no,
get her off
want.
The hook. I'm going to take her off the hook. And just say, Shawn Michaels basically said he, like everyone else, was watching Raw, which was a lie. He was watching Cold Case.
Yeah, bullshit. We read your Twitter, Shawn. Just FYI.
Right.
Which he DVR'd Cold Case this week. He said it so on Twitter, but that's okay, Shawn. We believe you.
Shawn anyway. Can't spell DVR. I love Shawn, I do, but he is so technologically retarded.
Yeah, I remember, was it WrestleMania 13, that shot of him doing the AOL chat, pressing one button at a time on the computer, and he was still confused.
Yeah. As I say, Shawn Twitter figuring out Twitter was the most just adorable thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
In any event, basically he was waiting to hear Triple H accept the, you know, the challenge from The Undertaker. Then that brought out, you know, Triple H, you know, he wants more HBK. Well, maybe after this segment he doesn't. But, in any event, Triple H says he won't fight The Undertaker. He, you know, he understands that he has to do it, but, you know. Trips doesn't want to end him. He no longer has, you know, that, he's no longer into that. He's no longer that guy to want to end somebody's career. Shawn came back with a great jab about, you know, marrying the chicken, he became one of them. You know, a suit.
He went on corporate. He sold out, goddammit.
Yeah.
Can I just say that that's the dumbest reason to turn down a match? Because through that whole speech of Triple H saying, you know, I have to look at this as a corporate person. I don't want to end the brand. He's a brand. We're the last of a dying breed, the Smash Mouth, blah, 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 blah. Basically what he just told the entire world was, everything you've seen from any of the people who aren't Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Stone Cold, and Triple H is dumb, and you're dumb for watching it.
No, he basically said it was crap, is what he said. Which I found that to be a little insulting to everyone in the back.
It's horrible. I mean, he basically said, we're the last thing that people are ever going to watch or ever going to need to watch because the rest of you suck.
He did the same thing last year, building up The Undertaker, his match with The Undertaker, if I remember correctly. They did toe that same sort of line, trashing everyone else and making them the only two people that really mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand you've got to hype up your match, and you've got to hype up your people, and you've got to hype up... But why do it at the complete expense of the entire rest of the company?
Because he can.
Yeah, basically.
Because
he's so dumb.
Who's going to challenge him on it?
Anybody should. If again, logic be damned. If anybody was listening to that, they should have. If Daniel Bryan was listening to that, CM Punk was listening to that, both of them should come out, hold their belts up in the air, and say, this is what we've got that you don't. I don't care that you Ric Flaired yourself into 16-time champion. If we're crap, then come take it. It's just, it doesn't make any sense that any one person in the back of that locker room would sit there and allow anybody to run them all over with a steamroller.
I guess in a way it maybe sells that whole bad guy, heel, corporate guy that still sell, you know, I guess he's not doing a lot to bring the locker room over to his side. You know, he just doesn't care. I'm looking at this strictly from corporate, it's strictly from business, and The Undertaker makes us a lot of money, and we don't want to get rid of him because of that. I mean, he doesn't even look at The Undertaker as a person anymore. He looks at him as a brand. He looks at him basically as a money-making machine.
But he can absolutely do that without steamrolling the rest of the locker room. He doesn't have to say the rest of this company sucks and Undertaker is the last of a dying breed. He could have simply said he's a brand name, he makes us a shit ton of money. Every time that bell goes off, the entire WWE universe collectively creams its pants, and I'm not willing to risk the money of ending the brand for my own personal gain. That one sentence right there that I just said makes total sense as far as being a corporate douchebag and does not steamroll the locker room.
But if you look at Triple H's career, it's what he's always done, though.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. And I've always said it's dumb every time he does it. I don't get it. I don't get it, but... No, he's always done it, I guess.
But it's always been his, you know, way of cutting a promo. He always buries the locker room. It's what he always does, and, you know, when he was just a wrestler, he would get, you know, people would, you know, rant about him. He would have problems with people because he wouldn't put people over, et cetera, et cetera. That's just, you know, the character. Is it wrong with it, you know, putting them down? Yes. But was I surprised he did it? No. What do you think, Jackie?
I think it's just something about one storyline. I think having Daniel Bryan and CM Punk come out and hold the belts over their heads doesn't sell, that has nothing to do with the Triple H Undertaker storyline. I mean, it's just one thing that he said that is just one part of one storyline. And I think Scott might be taking it a bit too seriously.
Oh, probably. I fully admit it. But it just drives me nuts that the locker room would let Triple H plow them over like that. It just drives me nuts. I'm not saying we need to create a new storyline about it. I'm just saying that don't steamroll the entire company to make yourself look better. You've done it for years. Okay, we get it. You're best. You're awesome. You're great. Don't steamroll the locker room. Put somebody up on the shoulders for once.
Sorry, Basically, Triple H is trying to do his best to get himself heel, because you know he will be. He has to play the heel this in this role. He has to get himself. What he always likes to be is the heel, and you know, even though he gets cheered every time he comes to the ring, he has to find a way to get booed, since Undertaker is going to be cheered in this match. In any event, basically, to wrap it up, Sean calls Triple H a coward, calls him soft, yada yada yada. And then, you know, Triple H won't do it to feed the ego of Shawn Michaels or the people to end the streak. And, you know, Shawn wants him to say it, you know, wants him to fight. And Triple H will have none of it. He won't fight The Undertaker as of now.
Until Teddy Long steps in.
Until Teddy Long steps in.
Yes.
Then he going one-on-one with The Undertaker, player.
Mm-hmm. Holla, holla.
The best part about this whole thing was, I guess, 10-15 minutes before the segment airs, as I said, Shawn's going to be in Philadelphia, they played the commercial saying, what will Shawn Michaels have to say in regards to The Undertaker and Triple H? Find out when Shawn Michaels returns to Philadelphia on March 19th, or whatever date it is. Just pointing that out. Thank you for, you know, promoting Shawn's coming back, but, you know, giving something away.
Well, it's kind of interesting because they were promoting that Taker will be in Minneapolis, I think, at the end of February. End of February or end of March?
Isn't it next week?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have to look and see, but... And they were saying that, you know, see The Undertaker and Triple H have their first explosive confrontation or something since WrestleMania. So I kind of wonder if they're not pushing this up a little bit.
Well, they're, you know, locally pushing it, you know, when with the internet people talk about it. Like on a Raw post show heard every Monday Night Live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well done. Well played.
Well played, sir.
In any event, you know, Shawn walks away, you know, a little... nudge to Triple H. Triple H is left in the ring, and then you hear the gong.
It was kind of funny. Jackie and I were talking, and I was sitting there, and I said,
wait, hold on. You two were talking?
I know. Wait. Wait for the surprise face. Wait for it, and go!
I'm actually surprised that they were talking and not shrieking.
Well, Kane wasn't out yet.
No, but Undertaker was.
Well, there was shrieking at that point.
Anyway, Jackie and I were talking, and, you know, as Shawn is walking away, I say the only thing that would be better is if this was backstage and Hunter walks away and leaves Shawn standing there, and Taker walks up behind him, and right as I said that, Taker's gong went off and we both screamed.
See, the thing about it is that she's having some internet issues right now. So she can only watch Raw on a feed. And so I'm watching it live, so I'm about, what, 2 minutes ahead of you?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's just kind of like, I always have to be careful to not spoil everything for her.
Except she goes, oh my god!
And by the way,
I kind of know something's happening.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll get to more of that later in the show.
But, and it's not internet issues, it's cable issues. Goddamn Comcast, I hate you, go to hell.
And we'll talk more about that at the end of the show where we give Lindsay some time to rant.
Bastards.
Anyway, ladies, Taker, video, thoughts?
Loved it.
They tied in the hair. It's funny, we were talking about it, and we were looking at the WWE magazine poster or cover that they released of Taker, where his hair is essentially flames, and it is blatantly obvious that he is bald in this picture. And she and I were talking about it, and it's like, how are they going to tie this wig into WrestleMania? How's he going to wrestle with a wig on his head? And then they play that promo, and they show Taker cutting his hair. And I thought that was an absolute brilliant way to do it.
All I want right now, now that the hair is gone, I just want him to come back as the American Badass. Next time I see his ass, I want it on a motorcycle. I will be a happy little fangirl if that's what I can have.
I don't think you're going to get that.
Yeah, I think that's not going to happen.
Sorry, I don't want to, you know, break your heart at anything, but yeah, don't think so.
But I thought the promo was well done. You know, it's like the last one. It was very well done. And again, I told Jackie that the Taker coming back initially and then last week's promo was Taker, quote unquote, asking Triple H nicely. And what is going to happen when The Undertaker stops being nice about this and starts going after what he wants? And we saw that in this promo, that it's kind of sort of up yours. I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I want no matter what you say. And so I am actually interested to see where they take this. Still don't want to see the match, but I'm liking the build. They've sucked me into the build at least, and I'm enjoying that. So I'm curious to see where they go with this. You know, how will Triple H coerce, or I'm sorry, how will Taker coerce Triple H into this match?
Maybe he'll go after Stephanie again. That always seems to be a good way to get a reaction out of any of the men in that family.
I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
I mean, they did bring her up today.
Yep. Oh, what do you think about this one, Scott? What do you think of the entire segment in general with The Undertaker?
Whoever's doing their pre-production editing for all of that stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
The way the cuts, the visuals, the background, the lights, you never really saw him, but you did see him, the chair, the whole cut edit thing was phenomenal. The sound editing was really, really good. I don't think the match will be quite up to par with the production quality, but that's just me. But the hype, the way they're producing this is outstanding. So I don't know where they're going to go with it. I really hope they don't do a Triple H Undertaker 3. I'm kind of over that. I'd love for it to be somebody else. It's not going to happen.
But yeah, it's going to happen. But
it's going to happen.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
But I guess the question is will it happen this year? Because they could still do Triple H Undertaker 3, but they could say, you know, Triple H finally agrees to the match, and he goes, but I want you at your best. You're not at your best right now. You have 1 year to get at your best. And they set it for next year, which allows them to, you know, Taker gets 20-0 next year. It could be a feature match. It will be Taker's retirement match, probably. And then at 30 at Madison Square Garden, Taker goes into the Hall of Fame. I think that would be a good way to set it up, where Triple H is like, look, I've got too much shit going on right now. I can't take care of, I can't handle this. Next year. I mean, if they're going to push Roxanna out a year, why not do Taker's retirement match and push it for a year? And allow him to get as healthy as he possibly can to do it. And just make it complete knockdown, drag out, brawl.
They have to have the streak. They have to have the streak. If you skip a year, I don't think the streak counts anymore.
He's not wrestled at WrestleMania every year. It's not been every year.
No, it's not.
He did not wrestle, as far as I remember, either. I know for sure WrestleMania 10. I'm not positive about WrestleMania 9, but I know WrestleMania 10 for sure. He did not wrestle.
He wasn't at WrestleMania 2000 either.
Okay, there you go.
Well, there goes my history.
Yeah, it's 19-0 victories. It's not consistent appearances.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, okay, skip here.
Because it would make more sense with all the big matches they've got going on this year. It just would make total sense to hold Taker off and give that 20-0 the spotlight that it really truly deserves next year, and make it that feature match, make it that special match, and push, because people will buy, people will pay to see that. So why not make the most of it that you can? Why stick it on a card where it's pretty much going to get lost in between Roxina and the title matches and possibly a feature match between Sho and Shaq and all the other shenanigans they're going to do on that show?
Well, which just confirms that they won't end the streak either.
Oh, I doubt they're going to end the streak.
No, they're not going to end the streak.
They'll give him 20-0 and they'll let him retire. And he'll retire with 20-0.
Seems like it's a consensus on the network from a lot of people that they want Undertaker to wait.
It just, to me, it makes more sense. If it was 19-0, yeah, sure, do it this year. But 20-0 is such a big deal, and they always make such a huge production of the streak. And it's so epic, and it's so legendary, and it's, you know, it's synonymous with WrestleMania. It's like, you think of WrestleMania, you think of the streak, you think of The Undertaker. So they have made such a big deal out of it that it just seems like it cheapens it a little bit that they're just going to throw it on the card because they can.
But this year it's not about the streak, though. They're kind of not making it about the streak. They're making it about Undertaker's career.
Right, but if The Undertaker is going to retire, if this is going to be his very last match, don't you think that they would try to make the most of that they could possibly make and make it a feature? Because, again, if it is Taker's last match, people will pay to see that. Hell, Jackie and I will figure out a way to get on an airplane, get to wherever WrestleMania is next year, to see it. I mean, people are going to have that kind of reaction because it will be the last time we ever see him in the ring, potentially. So why put it in with Roxina, with the title matches, with everything else they're going to do? Why bury it? Why not make it the feature that it should be?
Well, my only question to that would be, aren't we going to have all these big title matches and everything next year, though? Like, next year's WrestleMania card is going to suck. We know it's going to suck, so we're just going to put Taker on there then.
Well, it's like, this year you have, Roxina is clearly the feature this year. Very clearly the feature. That's what they're driving home. That's what they're trying to make their money off of. And then that's going to be your main event. And then you're going to have the two title matches, World and WWE. So that's three mains. Do you really want to have a fourth with Taker, Triple H, Taker's retirement, and 20-0?
I mean, ultimately, my thing with this is that I just say, let him do what he wants to do. If he wants to do it, let him do it. I'm not about to be the one to tell him no.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. From if they want to approach it from a quote unquote business standpoint, that's how you do it from a business standpoint. It's, yeah, let him do what he wants to do, but let him get the biggest payday he can as well.
Right.
Do you agree with this? There are people who say Roxina isn't drawing the way it should. Do you agree with that statement, or do you disagree with that statement? And that's why you need to put Triple H and Undertaker on this card to, you know, sell some more pay-per-views.
Roxina's done all it's going to do.
Has it done enough? Has it sold enough, do you think?
I don't know. That's the whole thing. Is right now we only have Roxina on the card for WrestleMania. We don't really know. I mean, we know, but we don't, what the other matches are going to be. And I would like to see the full card, at least without Taker Triple H taking that off, to figure out whether Roxina has done what it's going to do. I mean, they really did kind of shoot themselves in the foot by announcing this a year in advance. Had they announced it at Survivor Series, I think there would have been more buzz about it, because they announced it and then they kind of sort of tease it every now and then throughout the year. They teased it at Survivor Series. They kissed The Rock's ass there. And then now going out of the Rumble, they're kissing The Rock's ass again, and they're having Cena start to promote it heavily coming out of the Kane storyline. So we're starting to see them build to that. And unfortunately, they've really built it the best way that they could, given the length of time. I mean, you have Cena and The Rock talking smack on Twitter. You have them, you have Cena shooting insults on Raw. You have, I guess, I don't watch any of The Rock's appearances, so I couldn't tell you what he's doing on his end as far as any of his TV appearances or whatever. But
he mentioned it on Jay Leno that he's going to go back in the ring and fight at WrestleMania.
Okay. So you have Rock pushing it. I mean, again, it's Rock versus Cena. They announced it a year ago. Everybody was surprised then. There's really no surprise now. If they had waited until Survivor Series, if they had even waited until after the Rumble, where they build that feud and they build that tension, and then they announce it after the Rumble, you know, the Rock versus John Cena, I think that would do a lot, would have done a lot more than announcing it a year in advance. So at this point, based on everything they've done, it's probably done all it's going to do. And at least for me, Rock Cena does not sell the show to me. If I'm going to be paying 50, 60 bucks for this, I would like to see other matches. And seeing as I do not want to see Taker Triple H this year, that's why I'm saying hold it off. Because I don't want to see that match. I don't want to pay to see, you know, them go again for the second year and the third time. So that's why it's like, I need to see the full card. I need to see, I mean, we're pretty much sure CM Punk and Jericho are going to go at it. We don't really know who Daniel Bryan's going to go against. We don't know if the feud with Randy Orton and Wade Barrett is going to continue into WrestleMania. We don't know at this point.
In chat room, come on, does the streak really matter when it counts? When it counts, Giant Gonzalez, Big Boss Man in Hell in a Cell, King Kong Bunny at the end of his career, and two duplicates. Taker retires 20-0, then goes into the Hall of Fame next year. That's two different people in our chat room at WildTalkRadio.com.
I think at this point the streak matters. 10 years ago, maybe not so much, but because again they make such a big deal about it, it matters. And it matters to Taker himself. So,
like in any sport, you can only beat who you were put in front of you.
I mean, like, I would say Big Boss Man, Hell in the Cell, and King Kong Bundy. That's who you said, right?
Yeah, and Giant Gonzalez. He pointed out. Yeah.
Yeah. In the early part of the streak, he didn't get a choice on who he went against. It was okay. We're going to have you fight this guy at WrestleMania, and you're going to go over. I think it's probably only in the last, 5 years or so that he's really gotten to pick his opponents and really gotten to decide, okay, I want to fight Shawn Michaels twice. I want to fight Triple H twice. You know, he hasn't had that power before. I mean, I'm sure in the latter part, based on his status, yes, he probably had some say, but it's a well-known fact, it's a well-documented fact that the only reason Triple H Undertaker happened last year was because they felt there was nothing on the card that was WrestleMania worthy, that was feature worthy. And so they decided they're going to do a match. They're going to have it. And that was the end of the discussion.
As we clearly went off of Monday Night Raw.
Sorry. You could have yelled at me to shut up any time.
No,
God.
It was great. No, I'm just trying to segue back into Raw. I didn't have any other segue because, you know, after coming off of that great television segment, which we spent a lot of time talking about because it deserved it,
I wish WWE TV, all of it, was like that.
I agree.
It was, I miss when wrestling was that good and it just sucked you in and you were just drawn and magnetized by it. And I wish they would do that with everything they do.
No matter what we heard in the promo, what we disliked, liked, etc., you want to hear what they're going to do next.
Right.
Even though you don't want to see the match, the build, you know, you still want to see it.
And I know Lindsay well enough to know that even if this match does go on this year, she'll be there. And she'll be rooting for Taker, ultimately.
I'll be rooting for Taker, but I don't know if I'll be there.
Well, I mean you'll be watching.
She'll be there in spirit.
I don't even know if I'll be watching. I don't know if I can afford 60 bucks. We'll have to see.
Magic fairies.
Yeah, magic fairies. Maybe if the magic fairies are kind to me, I'll be able to see it, but otherwise I can't afford the 60 bucks unless somebody out there from the WWE who we love so much wants to send me the pay-per-view for free. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. Having to follow this match, this segment was Dolph Ziggler and R-Truth.
I kind of feel bad for them because they had to follow this.
Hashtag magic fairies. Love our chat room. Anyway.
Hashtag Vicky Guerrero should never wear a shirt like that again.
Or the skirt like that.
Yeah, skirt. I wasn't, you know, I love Vicky, hometown girl, but I really wasn't feeling her outfit tonight.
I don't know who dresses Vicky Guerrero, but they need to go back to fashion school because, yeah, outfit was totally not working. And that's pretty much all I remember from the match, which is kind of sad. I think, Jackie, didn't we spend more time talking about Vicky Guerrero than the actual match?
We did. Well, actually, I'd say most of the conversation was around Kane and Undertaker as it relates to, you know, the promo we had just seen. There was an occasional, wow, who dressed Vicky, and she totally ripped off China's old pants for that skirt. That was really about it.
Yeah.
So R-Truth won.
Yay.
I don't know. I really didn't pay attention. I lost interest after. It took me a couple minutes, you know, to, you know, get back into role after that great promo. Cause, you know, Shawn Michaels mark.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Taker marks. We were more obsessing about the fact that Undertaker was cutting his hair off in the promo.
Right. Santino and Zack Ryder were backstage. Santino was giving him love advice, Valentine's advice, tips. There's a video on WWE YouTube with Santino. He's going around trying to, you know, pick up the divas. It's pretty funny. Go to the YouTube page for WWE. Santino's Foreign Exchange. Check it out. Worth a watch. Which then brought us Tamina Snuka. Did you see how they threw that in there this week?
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember previously her being ever referred to as Tamina Snuka.
Tamina Snuka took on Nikki Bella, basically squashed her.
About damn time.
I think there may be... It's great that they're pushing Tamina, and it's great that they're pushing her as a second-generation diva. That's absolutely awesome. But it also kind of sucks when her match consists of go out... get a diva on her back, which is really not that hard, end it with a splash, and then 1, 2, 3. There's not a whole lot of content there, so I hope that they have something better planned for WrestleMania. Elimination Chamber.
Well, here's the thing. She has to actually be able to have a partner or an opponent that can wrestle to have content. And
fair
let's
enough.
Face it, the Bellas are not equipped enough to be competent wrestlers. I'm sure her and Beth will put on a fantastic match. I hope to God they do.
Yeah,
I think
fair
they
enough.
Will. But yeah, that was kind of what I was expecting was, okay, Tamina versus Brie or Nikki or whichever one it was. Yeah, okay. Tamina's going over.
That was Nikki, by the way.
Okay.
We then had the Rock hype video about his movie and his appearances. Say what you will about The Rock, they do pretty damn good jobs of video packages lately.
They do, but again, it's kind of amazing how inaccessible The Rock seems in his videos. It just, I don't know what it is, you know, it's just he seems like this Hollywood snob type. And it's just, it's not doing it for me. Kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, you're going to come back for one match, you're going to get your money, and you're going to leave. And we all know you're going to do that. Why should I care?
Basically, that's my thing, too.
We will see what happens when The Rock returns to Monday Night Raw, I believe, the 27th of this month? 26th, 27th, whenever it is, the last Monday in February, I think he's returning to Raw. Spoiler alert. Anyway, we then go backstage... Eve somehow, you know, bad cut to the ambulance.
That's what I was going to say in the beginning of the show. That whole segment was just off. Not awful. Well, it was awful, but off, too.
That's something they should have pre-taped, maybe?
Definitely they should have pre-taped that. There's too much going on. You could see Eve walking into the back of the ambulance and Kane, and maybe it was me. Did anyone else see like a hand direct him to go, or a piece of paper or something like flashing like go now?
See, I did not catch that, but it just seemed off. They were not ready.
Yeah.
And Kane was looking off camera when it started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was clearly waiting for the direction. That's something. If you're gonna time something like that, just pre-tape it and edit it. It's not that you don't have to show everything live. You can pre-tape.
Like they did with the ending of Raw last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get that. Eve's forced in, quote unquote, forced into the ambulance. You know, Cena tries to make the save. He gets knocked down. But somehow, you know, Kane leaves with the ambulance, but no Eve's in the, Eve is nowhere to be seen in the ambulance. She's back, and then she kisses John Cena.
Winning the Douchebag of the Week award is John Cena for stealing his best friend's girl.
By the way, not only did she kiss him, she mouth raped him.
And he kissed her back.
And what kind of a bitch, I swear to God, your boyfriend is sitting there, and so I'm assuming that was her Ryder would be considered her boyfriend, in a neck brace on crutches in a wheelchair on the day before Valentine's Day, and you kiss his best friend. What kind of fucking bitch are you?
Yeah, and let me add this to that. Not only that, but it's not like he was casually strolling down the hall and accidentally turned a corner. They're in the middle of the goddamn parking lot, and he's in a wheelchair. It's not like you can accidentally wheel yourself into the park. No, you've been there. They know you've been there. How the fuck does that come across? I mean, that's, here we go again. Stupid backstage booking.
And again, and the worst thing was, oh yeah, I just want to be friends.
Oh God. Yeah, I've used that line a few times. Guys don't like that.
Oh God, just... The logic of tonight's show, just dumb. Just dumb. It really, really was. I'm sorry. I know everybody here, you know, big WWE fan. That's awesome. And go WWE. It's great. Anywhere a wrestler gets a chance to work, anywhere a wrestler gets a chance to work, I'm for it. But tonight's show, I mean, it was just off. Nothing really went right or made a lick of sense at all.
I will admit that the first backstage segment worked, but to the close, you know, it was a little awkward because it's like you had where Kane leaves in the ambulance, you cut to commercial, you come back, Kane is backing the ambulance back in, and then you cut to CM Punk and whoever CM Punk faced, which I don't remember.
Miz,
thank you. And then you have the segment at the end. It was oddly broken up. It didn't feel right, especially Kane backing the ambulance back up.
Didn't the ambulance back up as the match ended, I think?
No,
yeah,
it backed
yeah.
up.
No,
did
no,
it?
Yeah, it was after the match.
Was it after the match? Okay, so you have Kane leave, they do the match, and we thought that was it, and then they show him backing the ambulance up. I mean, I know they can't trash an ambulance, but I think it would have been better if he, like, drove the ambulance in and, like, crashed into something.
You really know, sped into the thing, yeah.
Crashed into Zack Ryder, sending the wheelchair flying across the arena with Zack in it.
Oh, wait, did we see that? Oh, wait, we'll get there.
Yeah.
No, more than just dumping him over the side. Knock his ass across the fucking arena.
That's pretty much what he did. He rolled him and then he threw him across the stage.
Actually, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love for, like, the ambulance to smash through the ring so that Zack's sitting on the ramp and you just see Zack in a wheelchair get ramped up that thing and smash into the Titantron. It'd be awesome.
He would be dead.
Woo, 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 you're buried.
So he got the just want to be friends line, and we get CM Punk and The Miz. CM Punk beats The Miz. It was a match. It was there.
It was alright.
It wasn't anything spectacular.
We were too busy bitching about the fact that that was it. That's all we get of Kane.
Yeah.
To notice.
But you were wrong.
Yes, we were
wrong.
Yay,
we were wrong.
As we mentioned, the ambulance returns. John Cena comes to the ring, talks about the awkward moment, says sorry to Zack Ryder. You know, then, you know, you see, John Cena basically says he's, you know, he's going to overcome it. You know, he's not going to embrace the hate, which started a "We all hate you" chant.
Which was a win.
It was. You know, people think he's soft, which then after that got a Fruity Pebble chant. you know, he'll overcome, you know, he will conquer whatever, he will adapt, overcome, he will win this Sunday. He then goes to start to talk about The Rock, and then now comes Zack Ryder in his wheelchair and his crutches, slowly then walked to the ring. I don't know why he didn't wheel himself down to the ring, would have saved a couple minutes.
All part of the sell, which he did fantastic, selling that injury and the whole part, the whole segment. I mean, he really kind of tugged at your heartstrings, because it's like the guy has just had like the worst couple weeks anyone could ever have, and you know, tonight was just the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. You really kind of felt for him, you know, in his neck brace, his back brace, coming down on crutches, and then he gets up in the ring, and yeah, I thought it was actually pretty good between the two of them. My only complaint about it is that I'm really kind of sick of seeing this whole I will rise above shit. And I say that because we're all human. Sure, we can all rise above. Sure, we can all overcome. But at some point, we all have that breaking point where we just get pissed off and we can't do it anymore. And the fact that Cena was like, well, you know, I have no dark side. I have no evil side. That's what I would like to see from Cena. I would like to see him snap. I would like to see that development of, how far will John Cena go on that dark evil side to get what he wants? We've seen how far he'll go on the good. How far will he go on the evil? And that's what
really,
I want to see.
But are
he'll
you really
on the dark side.
Are yeah. you really wanting to risk another constipation face?
Well, I think if you taught him how to act.
Again, he's the star of the Zazzie Award-winning Marine.
Yeah.
I don't
the
know.
So I think.
I don't know if you even won a Zazzie for that, but I'm just throwing it out.
Is it
there.
Zazzie or Razzie? I thought it Razzie. Was
Razzie. There you go, Razzie. That's what it was.
Well, I mean, you could. It's not even a constipation phase. It's you have John Cena walk out there and be the biggest dick he can possibly be. And in the process, he does things. You know, he screws people out of matches. He steals titles. He does whatever. He goes the complete 180 of what he is. Just to even see that development on that character, because when he said that, it's like, okay, well, you will rise, you will overcome, and you don't believe in character development.
Ultimately, though, I just based on what I saw tonight, I don't think that there's going to be that change in John Cena. They had to rely on Eve to help get Cena booed. And I know that a lot of people are sitting back waiting for this heel turn, but again, if you have to use Eve to turn John Cena heel or to make Cena get any kind of heat, I don't see it being a permanent heel thing for Cena. I think they're trying to get him to get booed to further put over The Rock.
Right, and the only person that had a heel turn tonight was Eve, by all accounts. I mean, they won't turn Cena heel. They're not going to kiss off that money.
No.
That's all there is to it. It would be nice to see that development in Cena, but we will probably never get it.
Ryder slaps Cena. Ryder says Cena was never his friend. Then you have Zack Ryder I think he fell down somehow. Did he go for another slap and Cena blocked it? I think that was happened.
I thought I saw Cena, to his credit, I thought I saw Cena rear back like he was going to punch Ryder.
Oh, that was Cena. Okay.
I remember being like, what are you going to do? Punch a man in the neck brace in the face? Are you serious?
Are you serious, bro?
Right?
Yeah.
But, of course, he being the long-suffering good guy, caught himself and did not punch
right.
Ryder.
Since Ryder goes down, Ryder leaves, slowly walks up the ramp. Dum-dum-dum. It's Kane.
Yay.
Rocking the beard.
Rocking the beard. Thank you very much. Yes.
He says Cena did embrace the hate. And, you know, Kane feeds off the hate. And basically, after that, you see Ryder on the ramp, and then who comes back? It's Kane! And then, bye-bye, Zack Ryder.
Is this going to be like the Tim White angle, where it's like 1,001 ways to kill Zack Ryder?
That's the new Spike TV special.
I mean, it's just, it's kind of almost laughable at this point, and I hate saying that, but it's like, every time Zack Ryder's there, it's like, okay, how long is it going to take Kane to kill him this time?
Oh my god, you killed Zacky!
You bastard!
Zack Ryder has got to be the toughest human being on the face of the planet. He's had his back broken and tombstoned and everything else, and he is somehow still kicking. That's incredible.
I mean, I will give Zack Ryder all the credit in the world. He sold that like a motherfucker tonight. He met the concrete and he didn't move.
Yeah.
It was well done on his part.
That scared the hell out of me, to be honest. I mean, I'm sure that they wouldn't do something like that unless they were pretty sure it was safe, at least. But I was like, there's so much that can go wrong there. Going back to, God, a million years ago, when the New Age Outlaws sent Mick Foley and Terry Funk off the side of the stage in a trash can that they had sealed shut to make sure it wouldn't open. And that just looked horrible. And they just decided to send Zack Ryder over in an unsecured wheelchair. And I was just like, okay, we are going to have a dead Zack Ryder before WrestleMania.
Hold on. Has the chat room says hashtag Zack the Energizer Bunny? He's,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, dude's pretty tough. You don't get a whole lot more badass than you know, surviving 3 weeks of death by Kane.
But it kind of brought up, at least to Jackie and I, an interesting twist, because they've now kind of given a reason to possibly have Cena lose the ambulance match. I doubt he will going into WrestleMania, but they've given a way for Eve to either fuck John Cena over or by some miracle Zack Ryder survives. Zack Ryder screws John Cena over in some capacity in the ambulance match as a form of revenge, because now they've taken the focus off of Kane and Zack Ryder, and they put it on John Cena, Zack Ryder. So I'm thinking what they're going to do is they're going to set up that catalyst for either Ryder screws Cena at Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania, and then that leads to a feud between the two post-WrestleMania, where Cena's going to give Ryder the rub. But it's kind of an interesting twist that they did tonight, one that we weren't expecting, which was nice.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out ultimately. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Cena does, and I'm not sure how Ryder would do this considering he's wheelchair bound and neck brace bound. I can only imagine next week he's going to be a traction and they're just going to wheel the bed into Monday Night Raw. I don't know how they're going to continue this, but if they can use this to ultimately get Ryder over, to somehow get him to screw Cena over for the ambulance match, I'd be cool with that.
Scott, what was your thoughts on overall for the ending overall?
I wish they had skyrocketed Ryder through the roof of the arena. He's not over with me at all.
Yeah, I was gonna say you hate Zack Ryder.
I do. I kind of tuned it out.
So there you have it. We see him get stretched off, and that's how we end this edition of Monday Night Raw. Overall, good, bad, indifferent.
I thought it was good. The Triple H segment, Triple H Shawn Michaels Taker segment, sold it. I mean, that by far was probably the best segment of the night. And it made the show completely worth it just because of how well done it was. I would say the Kane Ryder Cena at the very end of the show was a close segment. The backstage part was a little awkward. And the rest of the show was just kind of eh. It's your go home to Elimination Chamber. The only matches we really had were the six opponents going against each other. So it's like, okay, whatever.
And the ambulance match.
So it was like, okay, you know, it's a typical go home into Elimination Chamber, but they had some really, really good segments. They did some really nice stuff to push WrestleMania and to push out of Elimination Chamber moving forward, which is nice to see.
Jackie?
I don't know. I don't like to sit back and think and dissect the stuff too much. I mean, especially going near to WrestleMania, I kind of like to just pull back and be a fangirl and just sit back and watch what they have to offer. So that's kind of the way I'm taking it right now. No predictions or anything like that.
host of Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show.
To me, it felt off tonight. I don't know. There were parts that were really good, but there were parts that just seemed off. I don't know. Hopefully the build starts getting a little better. I think they're building to some really good things in some portions. I think other portions need a lot of work. But I don't know. Just kind of felt like they were on cruise control tonight.
I think everybody was worn out from the trip to Abu Dhabi.
That too. Poor babies.
Yeah, that could, the jet lag probably
didn't
kill
help,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never taken a 17, 18 hour flight like that, but I'm sure it sucks.
Closest I've taken is here to San Francisco, and that's like 9 hours, and that zonked me for a good half a day. I can't imagine flying halfway across the world.
It's not 9 hours. Sorry, go ahead.
Something like that.
I've never done a long flight. I've done a 32-hour bus ride, and that sucked. So I'd imagine a 20-some-hour plane ride would just suck worse.
I've done 10, and yeah, it sucks.
Dude, I got there and my ankles were the size of blowfishes because I've been sitting so long. It was horrible. So, yeah. So, I mean, granted, these are professionals, and hopefully the jet lag didn't get them too much. I mean, I personally enjoyed the show, but again, I'm a bit biased. Ultimately, I can't complain too much. I mean, Kane was there, Taker was there. We have some interest. They're starting to build some storylines going into WrestleMania. I choose personally not to dissect it too much just because I kind of just like being a mark, to be honest. But ultimately, I mean, it's good to keep them on their toes. It's good for them to know that we're watching. Even if there was no TNA and no competition, someone needs to be keeping an eye on them and better their fans than anyone else.
Well, there you have it. That's everyone's takes on this week's edition of Monday Night Raw. And I told Lindsay before the show I would give her a moment or two or five. Or
yes, please. We need to. Let's let her get this off her chest.
She wanted. She was like, "Can I do it either today or Thursday? Why wait till Thursday when you can do it right now on the Raw post show?" Lindsay,
you go, girl.
The floor is yours.
F Comcast. F you so damn hard. I don't know who made the decision to change the overall feeds for some of your television shows, some of your networks, whatever, but I do not live on the goddamn West Coast. I live in the Mountain time zone. Put me back on the Eastern feed like it's supposed to be so I can watch Raw like a normal person and I'm not sitting here watching Big Show Randy Orton as we speak because it's on a 3-hour damn delay. Thank you.
And now after the show, we're going to get her some cookies and calm her down, and then we'll talk about it more tomorrow.
Yes.
With that being said, I think we should wrap up the show and start the plug things. And let's start with our guest, Scott Barry. He has something to plug, I think.
Nope.
No?
Nothing?
Nothing?
You can tune in
then too. You're on the wrong network, buddy.
I know, no shit, right? You can tune in to Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, Wednesdays at 8:30. The first show, the premiere show, is tonight. Tomorrow. Wednesday. Fuck.
And take two.
You can tune in to Just... I'm going to start over. Take two. You can tune in to Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, Wednesday nights right here on Wild Talk Radio, 8:30. Eastern Time, 7:30 Central Time. Check local listings and local television providers for the rest of the country. Jed Schaefer and I, just talk about the wrestling news of the day from all promotions with a rotating panel of guests, of which Lindsay Ward has been known to make an appearance on every now and then.
Just a few.
Jackie, you'd be more than welcome.
Oh, thank you.
And we're planning on the premiere show starting off with a bang, which means we're really planning on taking as many of our previous guests as we can and cramming them into one show just to see what you guys are in for. And then after that, it'll be slightly more calm with a relatively different format. But check us out. We would love to have you. 3,000 old fans can't be wrong. Let's make 3,000 new ones. Check us out Wednesdays, 8:30, Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hashtag watch it.
Hashtag watch it.
Okay. Okay, so that's one thing out of the way. Thursday night, we have a huge lineup on Thursday. Starting off, we have Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, Spug and Ellen are taking the night off this tomorrow night because they're married and they want to spend Valentine's Day with their loved ones.
Whoops.
So, we're going to have a special 11 p.m. Eastern of the Rack this Tuesday, but we'll get back to that plug in a minute. But this Thursday night, live on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, there are, I believe, three huge guests on the program. The commissioner of WSU, Amy Lee, will be on the program. That's one. I believe Amy Social is on the program. She'll be wrestling at the upcoming WSU I pay-per-view in March. Not only that, I believe we have the one and only Alicia from WSU Wrestling as well. Three guests for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio this Thursday night. Then, following Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern, it's a show called...
I don't know. What is it called,
Jackie? I have no idea. I really don't know.
I think I've forgotten. I think it has something to do with boobs. The pasties?
Sure? It's the pasties called boobies.
I see. Now, you see, this is the thing. I thought that the show was named after Lex Luger's finishing maneuver.
Oh, you poor, poor, naive person.
That's just kind of what I thought.
First time Lindsay told me that show and what the concept was, I went, oh, God, really? You all named it The Rack?
Not
that our name is much better, but still, I was like, wow.
Well, you have to keep in mind that our producer is male. Our network, the guy who runs the network, is a pervert in training, an old, dirty old man in training. Sorry.
No, he's not in training. He is.
Okay, so we have a bunch of breast-obsessed people around us. Lindsay and I are totally over it. You know, we've had them for a while. We're used to it. But,
You know what my mom always told me? If you got it, flaunt it.
Thank you. Me too.
So, yes, you can tune in on Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to The Rack.
The Rack.
Where we will figure out about what the fuck we're going to talk about because we don't know yet.
And if you have any suggestions or ideas about what you want to talk about on the Valentine's Day show, please tweet them to at Wild Talk Radio because I mean, we have a few things in mind, but we could use the help. So.
Boobies.
I have some ideas. We'll talk about it later.
And you can also follow The Rack. You can follow us on Twitter at WTR_Rack. You can follow me at Lynn's Ward. And Jackie, what's your Twitter?
At Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T.
Oh, and you can follow me at Maestro Scotty B.
So that wraps up Thursday. Every Saturday night, midnight-ish, called CB Radio, myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, unusual. We talked this week about weird weddings, how a woman marries a pod, and a man marries a goat, and a bunch of other weird things.
I heard that story.
I posted the link on Facebook, so check that out.
That's fucking gross.
Yeah, it is. We also have a judge sends a husband to date his wife after a domestic dispute. She got to go to Red Lobster. It's a win, I guess, for her.
Classy.
And how a burglar breaks in, folds the lady's clothes, and cooks her dinner.
That's it? That's all he did?
Yeah.
Dude, come to my house.
Come to my house. I got some dishes.
He didn't take anything.
You can clean it.
He didn't take anything. He folded the clothes and cooked dinner.
Are we sure that's all he did to the clothes is fold them? I'm just saying.
That's what the report said. And we talked about, we can't make this stuff up. I'm just pointing that out. This is real news. So check it out, CB Radio, every Saturday night, midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio hits the airwaves at 11 p.m. Eastern, as we will be covering WWE Elimination Chamber, join Tim Stein and the gang as they cover the show, and probably talk about Undertaker, Triple H as well, plus the great debate, roundtables, and everyone's favorite quick hits.
Yes.
We were pretty good on that yesterday. I thought we did well.
Yeah, check out the archive. They made an appearance because we plugged their show 375 times.
And somebody called out sick.
Mm-hmm. So, and then we're back every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show. But tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, we're doing a special Valentine's edition of The Rack. So, you know, check in, spend Valentine's Day with us, and all that fun stuff. So, with that being said, we wrap up the program tonight. I would like to thank the maestro, Scotty B, for joining us.
Yep.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure to be here.
We'll have to have him back on in the near future. Check him out Wednesday. Once again, just another goddamn wrestling show. For Jackie Feist, who will be recording an edition of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio at the History of WWE.com this week. And for Lindsay Ward, because I don't know if he's doing that show this week or not. I think it's all...
Nope. It's the boys this week.
All right, so hashtag spankings and cookies for Lindsay. And nothing else. And I'm Sir Rocky.
Kittens.
And
hashtag kittens.
Oh, by the way, hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
We miss you.
Lindsay wants to make her kittens, so...
I want her to make the kittens.
Jackie wants her kitten. We need to get on it.
Now. No, Lindsay, you need to get on it.
I'm trying. I'm yelling at him over radio. What more do you want from me? Now hurry up and close this shit. Shawn Michaels is coming on.
She's ordered me around now. I can let this song play out.
She's the talent. You're the producer. She's supposed to yell
at you. Oh, wait. I'm just the producer. It feels like
we established this already.
God damn it. If you don't write us off, I'm going to spank your ass. Now go.
We'll see you next Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show. We'll see you tomorrow night live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For everyone who joined us, good night.
Bye.
Night.
Still you love me. I tell you one and one makes three. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.